What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's happening, everyone? You got Matt or Has, another week, another Tweak Talks podcast coming at you. Full crew today. I'm so happy. Great to have you back, Marcus. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Oh, we got it straight into the how you doings. Hey, golly, I'm good.
This week.
I'm good. I was actually going to go to a concert tonight, a Coheed and Cambria concert.
Oh, snap. Oh, then, like, shit.
It's my mom's birthday and this. And I was like, bro, I just missed last week. And it's my mom's birthday. And I can't just miss every week of the pod. Like, I'm just never going to be here. Like, I'm trolling. So then I didn't go. All good. Life goes on. So, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm great. I can afford to go to a concert if I want to. So that's really nice. How's it going, Chuck?
I'm doing good. It's a bit hectic over here just because we're moving. So I'm in the new-ish environment. I got all my suitcase and stuff. So yeah, just a lot of stuff to move. I mean, we've got like a family of four, so there's just a lot of stuff. So been busy with that. And yeah, I mean, other than that, that's just like the main thing we've been doing. I got to raid for the first time in a long time in WoW, so I got to raid with that. That was fun in Mop Classic. Shout out to the raid, dude.
That was a good raid. True.
How long did it take?
Oh, and we were raid for 3 hours, 2 days
even,
a week.
It's not even that bad.
Like back when like Classic was real time, I used to raid like 4 or 5 days a week. 4 or 5 hours a day, like it was
all wiping. It was not clearing anything. It was just dying over and over.
That's kind of what I was asking. Yeah. But...
Oh, you're asking like how our raid went? Oh yeah. I mean, I got 3 pieces of gear, so I was happy. But nice. We did do a lot of wiping. We do a lot of wiping. How are you doing?
This first week of new content. I'm good, man. Everything's good. Ken made 2 top 8 appearances this weekend. One in Japan.
Can't complain.
I thought I was cooked after Supernova. I thought we'd never see that. Well, not never see it again. Jaws will always exist. But damn, Ashimo going Ken. You know, I'm fucking smiling over here. Ear to ear, man. Grinning. That was amazing. It was a great tournament to watch. I've been having fun. Obviously playing some WoW. Still on the Marvel Rivals grind. I'm officially silver. So I'm like, so watch out. All right.
Oh, snap. Yeah,
I learned very quickly to pick up a tank and a healer. That was my big adjustment to not just spam DPS, which is very hard to do because everyone wants to do that. So I learned Magneto and Rocket, as we talked about, and yeah, I go. So I am continuing to do that when I thought for sure I would quit, and I'm finding it fun and engaging and good. I think a part of it is I've started reading comics again. I've been going to my local comic store and kind of getting to the current I've been out of the swing of things. I always dip in and out like every couple of years. So now is like a great time of year for me to read comics. I love sitting outside on my porch and taking in that nice late summer, early fall air and reading some comics and having a good time. So comics and books, anything, man. I just like sitting outside at this time of year. So Big Gav, what's going on, dude?
Not much. I'm doing all right. I watched Umabura. I really enjoyed it. I didn't get to watch as much Collision as I wanted to, but from what I saw, it was really enjoyable. Yeah, honestly, not much. Pretty boring. I'm like an old man. I just work out, go on walks, drink yogurt.
Jesus, okay. Man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Let's start over. No, there is. Let's start life. Over. This is tough. God. You gotta do something, man.
I'm just like 85 or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm
what's wrong with yogurt, man. Everyone loves yogurt.
I'm pretty good. Dude, I watched that Kirby Air Ride Direct again. That game looks so good.
It does.
It looks so good. Like,
I just can't take it serious when Smashers say that game looks good because it just looks like Smash. So I feel like everyone that's Smash pilled is like, oh wow, man, this game looks so sick. And it's just like, well, yeah, it just has the Smash.
Well, dude, this is the realization. It doesn't look like Smash. Smash is a Kirby game.
So Smash looks like Air Ride.
Smash looks like a Kirby game because Sakurai made Kirby and Smash is a Kirby game.
Or am I gonna type by the way? Sure.
Who's the main character of all the adventure modes?
Me.
All right, player. We got a Bandana D model though. That's perfect. That's going right into the next Smash game. That's all I'm seeing right now.
Oh, I get really upset that people have the audacity to act like Bandana D isn't a reasonable request for Smash.
Oh, that's me. He's
clearly marketed as like a quartet with the other three characters that are in Smash. In the beginning of the direct, he's next to Meta Knight, Dedede, and Kirby.
He's like, it's like Mike Wazowski off to the side and like blocked. Like, yeah, he's there, I guess. Like, come on now.
Not
like,
Mike Wazowski.
They call the big three, Gav.
I just think it's such a self-report to think that's like not a good request for Smash.
Oh, I'm self-reporting.
A fourth Kirby character? Sucks. Perfectly fine.
It's not the Kirby thing that's a problem. It's he sucks. I'm down for the chef. The chef would be great. I would take the chef all day. He's cool.
The chef would make zero fucking sense.
I'd be down, though.
I'm Bandana D over chef for sure.
What?
Yes.
Oh, bros want Piranha Plant too. This is ridiculous.
Yes. It's Nintendo. It's cute. Same with Waluigi. Like, it's whatever if you just like are annoyed by the people on social media, but that's like its own issue. Like, why are you letting that affect what you want in Smash? Like, I just think it's, do you even play games or Nintendo games if you don't want characters like that? Like, they're so reasonable and like sensible.
No, like, that's no, Mr. Assist Trophy. He needs to, he's not gonna get
and Kratos and like shut up. Like,
oh, hold on,
shut
Kratos. Up.
Kratos, Master hold Chief, on. Like
Master Chief, yep.
Like chill out.
Doom Slayer, yeah, Master Chief.
Goku, Master
Chief.
Yeah, Goku.
Spider-Man, Naruto.
Wait, hold on. Spider-Man would go crazy. Marvel Rivals, hold on. Get my guy Blade in there. Let's go.
Get some Marvel Rival that's characters in. Let's get some
before, bro.
Overwatch, oh, I'm still reporting League of all Legends, day, I'll tell you like right all now. The I'm esports characters in there. Let's get it.
Yeah, Tracer. Let's get esports characters is amazing.
Yeah, Tracer, Ari. Let's get it. It's time.
Sakurai sits out for his direct. He's like, this time we're focusing on esports specifically. Like, could you see him saying that shit?
No, I just can't. I Jesus. Literally can't see him say that.
I could see Bandana D for sure. Unfortunately, I just don't want him. I get it.
That's fair.
I don't want him. I don't. He's a gym. Like, he's a little gym. I don't want that. I don't want Sora either. I don't want that.
There's nothing wrong with being a gym.
I didn't want Sora.
Well, wait.
Well, is that a self-report? I think it is.
Where's that character at?
I don't know.
You don't play him.
What the heck? This is not my responsibility.
Zachary won a tournament with him and was just like, I'm out. And then Kamehameha played him for a bit. And then.
Oh, yeah. Kamehameha disappeared too.
Yeah.
And.
Well.
See ya.
This is not my responsibility.
I mean, there are some out there, but yeah.
I see him on Twitter like once every 2 months doing some sort of crazy loop on like Rob or Kazuya, and then that's it. That's all.
Why? Here's my thing about Sora is it's like the whole Banjo thing. It's like there's this character that you can be very technical with, but you can also just be technical with Steve and have like half the technicality and like quadruple the reward. It just doesn't math, bro. I don't know.
A quadruple.
The Sora stuff isn't.
I don't think Sora's that technical.
Oh,
either.
Boy. It is.
Right. It is hard.
It is hard.
I don't think you need.
Go record a quick zero to death, man.
All right, hold on.
Go hit your KFCs and your like Sora zero to death. Like, it's all easy.
Right? I do hit my KFC.
Gav has been hitting the KFCs. Yeah.
Dang. Gav was like, hold up. Don't talk shit on my KFCs.
Not often, but I'd be winning games because of it.
Okay.
You hit them on me when we were playing in person and you looked at me. I was like, all right, man. You got it. True.
Like the full body turn.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you did the Jawzo.
Yeah.
Oh, the Rizzler gif.
Yeah. The Fantastic Four. Wait, say that again. Yeah.
Wait, there's literally a gif of me that applies to this situation.
True.
It's my favorite. Remote. Wait, let's all say our favorite Gavin gif because I know mine instantly. Bro, it's you in the crowd. I think it was
a collision.
The dead boy big house.
No, it was that is a good one though. Or is that it was, no, it was a Canadian tournament.
Oh, making not, fun of Terry or Kazuya or whatever.
Yes, you're making fun of Kazuya, and you bash the controller into your head, and then you the X factor of that GIF though is that you shake your own hand and like nod, like oh yeah, that was good games.
True,
it's so funny, like it's legitimately hilarious.
Yeah,
the TSM commercial is too much of a classic for me, man. It's too
that's
good.
Cheating. Oh, Phil's easy mode.
Yeah, easy mode. He's farming.
He never apologized for content.
He never.
It's actually crazy that he just made that.
You get a cut of that, right? Obviously.
No. People spam that one in his chat too. It's great, dude. I didn't know I was an emote in TK's chat. What the fuck?
I still haven't seen this.
I went to watch him play Tekken. He saw us in the chat. He's like, everyone hit your sleeps. And it was me when I fell asleep during the throne fight. It was just a picture of me sleeping. I was like, what the fuck? There I am. Good God. All right, anyway. Do we want to talk Collision first? Can we talk Umabora first?
Let's talk Umabora. First things first. I'm starting to feel bad for Hurt.
I know, dude.
That event was just dedicated to scamming Hurt for the whole day.
Well, except for that other set that he lost. That was very honorable and well fought by both sides.
Not at all.
Oh, I just know he got scammed more than once.
Yeah.
And I hate Snake a lot. Snake is actually my least favorite character in Ultimate currently. Fun fact.
Is that real?
Yeah. This has been I've been deciding this for a month.
Oh, wow.
Snake is my least favorite character in the game. But Hurt is really good. Hurt is really cool. But despite all that, I'm starting to feel bad. He's getting scammed constantly.
Yeah.
I've seen him get hit by 9 against Game & Watch more than once.
In terms of the eye test, when I was watching the tournament, I was like, I feel like Hurt's the best player in the room today. Or tonight, or whenever scammed. That was happening. I felt like Hurt was the best player that day, but... You know what? We're playing Ultimate, so that shit don't matter.
I respectfully disagree. I think the best player in the room was Ashimo, of course. Come on.
I mean, bro.
That down air conversion after that weird forward smash was insane with Ashimo versus Hurt. That was a wild conversion. Didn't think the down air was going to... Because, it's so weird. He must have delayed... was that a rising down air and you still had enough time to, fast fall down and still, convert the combo? Because... Ashimo was so far away. It was
definitely awkward, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't, when I saw the down air, I was like, okay, I know you can jump out of shield down air that, out of shield, because it's just a forward smash, but you get pushed back a pretty far amount. So the fact that Ashimo was still able to convert that down air specifically into the rest of the combo, it was insane.
I think since he really made a name for himself at Givitational, it's always been this dude, Ashimo, is going to hit clutch combos against people and just somehow turn his matches into a combo video. That's been his thing. Combo proficiency with Ryu is so next level with him. And I think Snake versus Ryu, speaking of that set, speaking of the Hurt set, I think it's such an interesting matchup because you think of a lot of things like Hadouken versus Grenade, the different kind of matchup things that happen. So Hadouken versus Grenade is really interesting because in my opinion is interesting because of Snake's X factor with that interaction is actually dash attack too, because if he has grenade and he throws it or lobs it early versus Ryu, that's really good because it'll either get close to Ryu and that's bad for Ryu, or it'll clank with fireball if he throws fireball late and you get dash attack behind it and actually hit him. Or you could just Snake's dash attack is just really fucking good. I think it's kind of an X factor no matter what. But I think in this little projectile warfare they have going on, it's really, really strong and really scary for Ryu, because when he's in the air against Snake or when he's knocked off stage or whatever, Nikita's really good against Ryu off stage. Neutral air is really good. Snake can just punish him really hard. The thing I like for Ryu in that matchup is if Snake tries to recover high, which we saw as Hurt and all Snakes do, they're going to go high a lot. He went high against Ashimo. I was like, bro, he might just die at 60, because if he gets caught with an up air here, or if there's if it's not just up air, back air, just to send him back off stage, it's just so tricky to go high against Ryu, because he's really, especially Ashimo, he's sharking all day for up air true Shoryu, which even against someone that's as heavy as Snake can kill super early. Or he'll hunt with red fireball too. If you try to fade away from him because you're scared of up air or back air, he'll still hit you with a red fireball. The way he covers space is just so good, man. It's just so ridiculous. So I had a blast watching that set. That's two of my favorite players in the game right now, no question. And just watching the clutch from Ashimo, man, he's just in the clutch. I feel like he's one of the best players, period, right now, for sure.
Yeah.
God.
He's just so good. Consistency of the, I mean, I think, comparing Ryu to Ken, I think Ashimo really relies on the consistency of Ryu's conversions, you know what I mean? Compared to Ken, where there's different SDI patterns and you got to kind of read where your opponent's going to SDI. I think a lot of Ashimo's strengths come from, okay, hey, Ryu's very consistent with the combos. I'm just going to be I'll just never mess them up, which it feels like Osimo has to do to win these matches. So it was really fun to watch. And man, you know what's crazy? Even seeing someone like Osimo, who is a character specialist, kind of dive into Ken as well. I was actually talking with Haz just offline about this, but it feels like we're entering this era of like counterpicking is back. Counterpicking is so back and solo maining is whack. Like we're going all the way back to year one. It's all about counterpicks. And like, look at all the players that are solo maining, and it's like not looking too good for them. Light is like the first player that comes to mind because I'm a fan of Fox, but it's just there's a lot of players that are solo maining, and it's just not enough nowadays. And it feels like whoever is winning or like the top, you need counterpicks, not for like the character pool, but it's just the specific top five, top 10 players. You need specific counterpicks for them. And then on top of that, it's like, I've always, and I want to say this, I've always been a believer of Pocket Game & Watch. I've always preached about it. I've always said it was good.
Of course.
And like, you just get like these passive like bonuses of, oh, hey, if I did have to fight against Light and I don't have a Steve, like I could have Game Watch. I mean, with Steve, you don't really need it as often, and it's going to be more specific, but Pocket Game & Watch is very effective. It's no secret. This character is not hard to play. Like, it's very effective, and you just play the flow chart. And honestly, the hardest thing about playing Game & Watch is how boring the character is to play. If you can fight the urge of just being bored out of your mind, camping with a floaty character, you can win with Game & Watch. Trust, you can do it.
There's so much of his kit that's like easy bake, you know? And obviously, you know, this is not like me as Game & Watch. There's X factors to really, really, really good Game & Watches. But to your point, Charles, like we said in our double digits, one of the double digit episodes we had, like, who do you think is the most effective pocket character for like, I want to, like, if I'm an O2er and I want to change my main, which character should I go to instantly improve those results? And we said Game & Watch. He was like, oh, one of the highest ones up there.
You specifically said Game & Watch. And this was, it wasn't like a pocket question. It was more of like, if you're an O2er, what character could you just pick up and get the most results with? And Haz actually said Game & Watch. And this was before Game & Watch had a crazy resurgence too, in terms of like, just results. Mia, like, this is before Mia started getting
before
like,
crazy he was huge,
results.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, huge shout out to you because that's like, I think that's the straight up correct answer. Like, there's no other character that can give you results as Game & Watch because everything is so flowchart. Like, I mean, Mia does the flowchart very clean, and there's not a lot of the Game Watches can do it as clean as Mia. But like, Bacon edge or Bacon ledge trapping, falling up air juggles, like it's kind of
down air. Down air every time effective. You're trying to land. True.
True. Yeah, and then when they start shielding, then you just start landing for free. And then you also can, Game & Watch is one of those characters that you can just play out of shield. It's one of the few, I mean, there's a lot of characters that can play out of shield, but you're probably the best character at playing out of shield. Also, you're probably the best character out of parry.
Because, back in my day, it's what we did, bro. Maybe I need to play Game & Watch.
Dude, that's what I've been saying.
I can play out of shield, bro.
Yes, you can. You can space snare. You can play out of shield. You can clamp with a floaty character.
Let's not go that far. Before.
I don't think he can space snares. Yeah, that's he'll have to give him a month. Give him a month in the lab. Yeah, go ahead, Gav.
I forget what I was gonna say. Damn it. Oh, what we were talking about, how about like it feels like counterpicking is coming back.
As a counterpicker previously, Gavin, I would like to hear your thoughts. Like, if you were competing, would you just lock it in with Diddy? Do you feel like you would need to like go above and beyond with like the top five?
He's because stubborn, I mean, bro, he'll do it.
With Diddy right now, especially with Doremi on the rise and stuff, like your real tough ones would be like, literally everyone
the
else.
The three,
yeah,
Mia, Kohler, Hurt, yeah,
yes,
Mia, Kohler, Hurt, yep.
But I weirdly think like it's like a cycle where for a while it felt like counterpicking wasn't worth it because the game was like advancing to a degree in terms of like punish game and stuff like that you like want to like be able to like zero to death as frequently as possible with your like dedicated character. But I think there's also potential to having a playstyle with any character that like simplifies the game state enough to where you can get away with counterpicking, and that feels like something people are doing right now. I don't know, when I'm spectating, it looks like the game is like weirdly being simplified to like some like what it kind of looked like previously, like a few years ago. like enough to be able to counterpick again. I don't know. Like if you watch like Ashimo's Ken, like it was just very like just simple, and like it wasn't like watching Jazo or something, but it's enough to like get the job done because he's like simplifying the game enough to be able to win. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, like the pattern isn't there that I'm trying to act like it is, but it feels like maybe it's just like a cycle of the game where we'll reach a point where solo maining might feel more worth it just because of how punishing the game is, and then in the cycle we'll go back to like maybe, you know, using a wide variety of characters might seem to be better. But yeah, I feel like a year ago I wouldn't be saying you should be playing multiple characters, but right now it looks like it can at least kind of work out.
When I watched Street Fighter VI, I feel the same thing. But like for a long time, I was watching and people were just sticking to their one character. Like, yeah, Angry Bird was locking in Ken and Ken only.
True.
Now, bro is on Akuma. Like, hey, we. And I just noticed that has happened in Street Fighter. Like, Zhao Hai won recently and bro played Mai and Bison. And like, the people who are like more on the solo meaning, like Punk is having a harder time playing Cammy. Tokido's was playing solo Ken, having a harder time, but he's also looking to pick up more characters. And it might just be like a thing that happens with metagames, like as they develop, like you feel like some, like your character reaches a plateau and then you pick up another character to help, and then like a bunch of people do that all at the same time, and then they're like both of your characters aren't polished enough, and then you just choose one, and then like that one becomes more polished and you like win with, yeah, that one, and then solo maintenance back. I mean, it just feels like, because it even happens with you, like when you used to compete and like you would play Diddy Kong and you'd be like, I'm picking up a secondary, yeah, and then you would do better for a little bit, and then like your Diddy Kong would not be as polished, and then, yeah, yeah, what am I even doing, I'm just locking in Diddy Kong. So I don't know, it just might be a thing that happens.
Maybe it's a cycle for everyone individually, but it like weirdly syncs up,
yeah,
with everyone during like tournaments and stuff.
I thought about this a lot since I watched the tournament, because first off, it's not like looking at Ashimo first, it's not like switching from Ryu to Ken helps you a lot against Bayonetta. That matchup still fucking sucks. Like, it's not like it's a lot. I don't know. It's not like it helped a lot. I was honestly, even when he did it, I was like, I don't understand why. Because I almost feel like in some ways that matchup's harder for Ken. But I think I do get it. But before I dive into that more, and then thinking about other counterpicks we've seen over the weekend and before that, Akola going Game & Watch against Hurt, right? Like, that's a big one that stood out. Hurt going Sonic against Dorimigi, right? Like, that makes a lot of sense, too. Something. So, to me, I thought about it a lot, and I think it's kind of like the characters you have, and maybe it's just because I've been doing work around my house more, but it's like, they're like your tools and your tool belt, right? But, like, you know, if you're, you know, if you got a hammer and the job of the day calls for a hammer and most of the work you're going to be doing, a hammer is going to work. Maybe it's pulling out nails. Maybe it's hanging something up, like whatever. Great. But if you run into something where that fucking hammer is not going to help you out, or you're not, you know, if you haven't been using a hammer as much and you mash your own fingers, like, that sucks. I don't know if this metaphor is really working out, but I'm going to stick with it. But like, basically what I'm saying is, if you have the tool for the job, it can work out for you. And I just think it's a good thing to have options, even if it is just one specific tool for one specific thing that'll help you succeed. Like, if it's just, I have a Pocket Sonic because in order to win a tournament, I need to beat Dormigi. In order for me to beat Bayonetta, I can't use Ryu, so I need to figure something else out. And something that makes sense to me is, Ken's an Echo Fighter. It's not like he's learning a brand new thing. He's not picking up Sonic or some shit, or Sephiroth or something. Like, it's, you know, changing a few things, but you already understand a lot of how the character flows from playing Ryu. So to me, it's kind of like this like juice being worth the squeeze thing, where he can use Ken for Bayonetta and like that'll help. He saw Yatamapi's, like, I'm gonna try Ken, and it worked out, and he sticks with it. And I think he also, very much to your point, Gavin, like, keeping it simple is the way to do it for sure, which is why I always questioned like the Sonic secondary for Hurt, because I feel like he is a character you can keep it simple with, but I don't think it's that easy. And we saw him SD even in the sets that he won, where it can be tough to play that character Sonic. But for Ashimo, it makes like perfect sense because, again, switching from Ken to Ryu, a lot of the muscle memory is the same. A lot of the buttons are kind of similar. You can even see a lot of his Ryu and his Ken. Like, he was going for up air, up air, up air, up air. I was like, bro, that's not how this works. Like, what the hell? But he was just up airing Bayo over and over. And a lot of it is, I think,
that down smash is going to get the job done either way.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. But if you think of, like, so the problem with Bayo is that she kills them easily, right? Up B off stage is just disgusting against Shoto's. Like, it's tough. Focus is, now I don't want to say useless, but it's tough to use in the matchup and have it be effective for sure. So a lot of the same disadvantages apply. One thing I really don't like as Ken is you can't mash Nair on shield because you get Witch Twist. Like, that's just really, really tough. Like, that sucks. But Ashimo didn't do a lot of that. And it became very clear to me after watching the first game, like after the initial reaction of what the fuck is he doing, to rewatching it and trying to figure out what is he doing. His game plan was simple, where Ken's down tilt into input roundhouse does like 30, which is a fucking lot against Bayo. Like, a lot. Down throw input roundhouse does like 22, and that's a lot against Bayo. So you only need to win, like, in fair, bear, like, all these things really add up to the point where he was doing, and I noticed this, he kept his Shoryuken very fresh all the time. Like, he didn't anti-air as much as he could. He tried to anti-air with light up tilt a lot, with all that good stuff, without staling a Shoryu, and then he let an unstale raw Shoryu rip out a shield when Bayo's floating around, trying to fair, trying to ABK, all this shit. He killed Bayo at, I got it in my notes here, killed Bayo at 80 with a true Shoryu first stock. Like, not out of shield, because you got to drop shield to do it, but as Bayo was floating around him, I'm like, damn, he's got a game plan, which is, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hit you 3 or 4 times. Your stock's ready to die. And I'm going to, if I don't kill you by anti-airing you with this Shoryuken that always sweet spots, by the way, that will always sweet spot in the air. If I don't kill you with it, I'm going to scare you into playing on the ground, which is also very good for me. So I love the game plan he had. That game 5 SD was very fortunate, I will say, on the side for Ashimo. Bad for Tama P. But I thought it was just a great display on how you can, like you said, use simple game plans rather than, like, with a new character, rather than, like, oh, I need to learn all these crazy crescent setups and, like, all this stuff. Like, oh, what's the frame advantage that I have here or here? It's like, nope, I'm just going to take my down tilts and input roundhouse, and I'm going to save my Shoryu, and I'm going to kill at 80. Like, that's my game plan, and that's it. So I thought that was cool. And even just kind of mixing it up a little bit with Ken, like, just throwing that curveball in there and making you deal with a character that in tournament, even if you are Bayo, who has bats frame one out of things, or Witch Twist the reversal, right? Still really scary to deal with a character like Ken. So I thought it was really cool to see. That's what I got out of it, at least.
I think something that's uncomfortable for Bayo is ground speed. And Ken obviously clearly has a lot more than that, a lot more ground speed than Ryu. And I think the Bayo player that's best equipped to deal with things like that is Lima, like, for sure. And Tama P just wasn't doing it, or wasn't willing to do it. I'm not entirely sure, obviously. Like, Lima's, like, defense and willingness to commit to it, I think, is what you got to do to avoid. Because if you look at, like, you know, if you're watching on YouTube and you saw the gameplay playing, you can see how clunky Bayo looks in some of those spots where it's like, if Bayo does press a button, Ken is just uncomfortably close for so long. And, like, the scrappy scenarios, like, Bayo just inevitably lost the numbers war. And Ken's going to bring that to you a lot more frequently because of the ground speed. So you got to camp. You have to. Those spots where you want to, like, space a back air, it's not even worth it. Like, what are you going to gain from pressing it? Even if it hits, it's like, do you really even want to go for it because of the risk reward? So I think the ground speed is just, like, the starting point for Ashimo, honestly. And I love all the specifics you had to say, like, just, like, how important it is to get, like, 20-30 per, like, good interaction, because, like you said, it goes a long way. Because look at, like, some of the ways Ashimo was closing out stocks, right? Up be out of shield when Tama P gets greedy, like, simple, and get a few of those bread and butters, then, like, you're good to go. So ground speed plus, like, putting your foot on the brake and then, like, going into shield and playing out of it with, like, the frame 6 kill option, it's like, it's huge. So yeah, if you're Bayo, like, you probably don't want to be on small battlefield like they were, like, at least once or twice there, and you want to camp. Like, it'll be a lot easier to dissect Ken if you have a lot more, you know, room to breathe, and you're not playing shield to shield with him, or, like, spacing aerials next to him, because it's not worth it.
Wait.
What's up?
We owe Gavin an apology.
Bayo's better than Ryu?
Well, yeah, but no, not for that.
Remember his, I don't think I started that.
Remember his really long sword rant? And he said, I think a character like Robin is more equipped to go farther than someone like a Lucina.
Oh.
Did I really say that?
Hey, Robin?
You did say Robin.
Yeah. Wow. Dang,
Leaf was out here.
I don't know if I said Lucina, but I do remember you saying Robin. And I was like,
okay.
Yeah, we're like, remember, who the fuck is this dude? Like,
I had the first time I saw Leaf was like, it wasn't this Umabora or like the one before, but I think it was the one two before this. And I told Gavin and Marcus like privately, I was like, I think Leaf could top 8 this tournament. And you both fucking laughed at me. And you were right, because you got like 33rd. You guys, it's when we were at a it's when we were at a tournament together. You guys laughed at me, and I was like, damn. I don't know. I just think he could do it.
But Haz, you weren't talking about that tournament. You were talking about this tournament.
I'm never wrong. I'm just early.
There you go. There you go.
That's Gavin.
Not bad. Yeah, Gav, too.
Ahead of their time.
But what the fuck, man? I mean, I was not – I mean, I'm a Leaf believer and have been for a while, but this is insane. Like, top 8 at a P-tier, solo Robin.
Top 5.
Oh, true. Oh,
top 5, yeah.
Bro, it's low-key cheating that – Robin's downbeat exists. That's cheating, bro. Dude,
no shot. We're like,
that move is not cheating.
Okay.
No, I'm with Gavin. Gavin. Yeah, I'm with Gav.
How much is it? Like 18? Or does it
there's so 50, many I other think. Things.
50?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, that sucks, actually.
That's too much.
There's so many other problems in Ultimate, dude. Let the Robin player.
Dude, Wario
let the Robin player pop off, one. Right?
We fit heals too. Robin,
that's a good thing.
57. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but that moves.
I think it's
slow
like
as hell.
Somewhere 15 to 20, which is good.
I can't believe this, man.
Oh, I'm a Gav. He's right.
I don't actually think the move's that good. I just think it's very fascinating that the down B exists.
We had some wild characters in general make it really far this tournament, huh? In Nuwara.
Falcon got top 8. That character's like the worst character in the game. It's true.
I can't even contest you on anything anymore because what is Robin doing here? Like, I just
what? So I had asked one more
Discord call before top 8 because as Farage and Leaf are doing well, I asked the Discord call, would you rather main? You have to main one character forever. I was like, would you rather main question. Falcon or Robin?
Robin.
Exactly.
No,
I pick Falcon.
So. Y'all are losing.
Absolutely not.
I'm gonna find some crazy stuff. That's
exactly. Falcon. I'm finding something.
I'm finding some stuff while you're out here up airing like it's 1940.
I'm gonna up E a lot.
Throw side B at ledge and pray. That's all you're gonna do.
Well, guess what? I'm gonna wave bounce it. It's gonna look cool.
It's not fair for Gav. I feel like Robin is just so much closer to something you'd be interested in, though, Gav. Like,
exactly.
Item play and all that shit. I don't know. I'm just trying to. I don't know. Falcon, like, fits. Like, I don't know, dude. I want to mash. You know what I'm saying? I'm not out here trying to be.
You could mash with Robin. We could. Thunder.
Let me know when you fucking get to your opponent. Holy shit.
We don't have to. Why do we want to get to them?
Bro's power walking.
Who cares about them? We're fighting ghosts.
Probably a lot of people.
We're fighting ghosts.
True.
We're just
said Falcon. I'm not playing no Falcon, bro.
Yeah, so Ultimate, you guys are not Falcon players.
Ultimate's like the it's Ghost Fighters or Ghostbusters, dude. We're just swinging at nothing.
Like think about it like maybe. This, man. Think about
when
it
you
like
hit
this.
A Robin aerial, that shit. You feel something.
Wait. The down airs, man. Leaf's down airs went crazy.
And that's Leaf the worst one.
Like. If you lock in, right, and you show up and you're like, bro, I'm trying to play, and you sit down and the person plays Game & Watch and you're just sitting there on Captain Falcon.
You're done.
Steve, Captain Falcon.
You're done.
Yo, I'm going to hit that stomp. I'm going to knee him after.
At least I don't have to go home and be a Robin player afterwards. Holy
okay,
shit.
Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, yeah.
That's Leaf the GOAT.
Good point.
Is that not fair?
Good point.
I love Leaf. This is not a reflection upon that play, upon that player. I'm just saying.
Gavin just wants to Z catch items and
yeah,
do item
yeah.
Shit.
He wants to
get out of here.
B reverse things. True. Oh man.
You can reverse it the Falcon punch, guys. Good luck.
I love it. You know, Captain Falcon son or Robin daughter, basically. Question that you're asking us right now. That's crazy.
I'm Thunder. That's what I'm saying.
Yikes.
That move is nice.
That move is nice, unfortunately.
So you think Robin's a better character than Falcon?
Of course. This tournament has nothing to even do with that.
I don't even know about bad. Yeah, that's a vibe that, right? thing.
I've always wondering. Thought that.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a tier list somewhere.
It was like the sword. And Falcon is a very basic character to follow up on the sword theory thing. Like, he's up there, up B, up smash.
The button. Definition of outdated garbage.
He is, yeah. Garbage. Back in my day.
Dude, he doesn't do anything. He is annoying.
He is. So is Robin, though. His up you want to be annoying. You can definitely be annoying with Robin.
His up B is extremely painful to get hit by, but I have to have a tier list somewhere.
Dude, just like how Fox is outdated, right? 64 character, true.
Kind of.
Sometimes honestly, being outdated is a good thing.
Oh, my God.
We've talked about this before.
Honestly, it feels that way with Fox right now. Like, kind of the other side of the coin of what we're talking about, man. Like, every time with Paris, it's just like he ran into a -2, a high-level player, top-level player, and was he able to fucking pull a rabbit out of his hat every weekend, man? And that's just the life of being a solo.
Okay, I'm actually very curious around the table. Do you guys think Paris will counterpick another character, or will he stick it through with Fox when all he has to play up against is Game & Watch, Luigi, and Steve? Go has.
He's sticking.
He's sticking.
He's playing Fox McCloud. Yeah.
Fox McCloud, Gavin.
Wait, what was the question? I was looking if I
will Paris ever pick up a secondary and truly use it in tournament. That don't even say anything. Audio we listeners. Recently
talked pretty in depth about this. Like the last time I talked to Paris was about scoops.
Inside scoops.
But I don't know. I know the pain. It's not easy.
For those who don't know, he actually was a co-main for a little bit in Smash 4 when he first got a start. Fox Lucina. You didn't know that? Wow.
Do you think okay? So if Paris now,
you'd go as far it was co-main, you'd go that far?
Initially, yeah, for sure. Yep. He did a lot. It was pretty nice. Wait, Marcus has you've been trying to say something for a second here, Marcus.
Okay, I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, bro, Paris Scott, what place? Ain't no way. Okay. So
I was tight.
I think about how sometimes
on his behalf.
How Gavin hates Fox, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And that's because Gavin is playing a half-human, half-cheater character, okay? So there's the cheater characters, right? No. Hear me out. Sounds crazy. They're the cheater characters, right? There's the Game & Watches, the Steves, like the Snakes, like the Diddy Rock. Kong. Right? Those are... No.
50%.
No. Half. Yes. Diddy Kong good, is half-cheating. Diddy Kong's half cheat, and then there's like the normal characters, like the Palus, like the Roids. Like, who cares about these anymore, right? Like, Joker's like a half cheater, right? Like, Joker feels really good when he's fighting other half cheaters and other humans, but when he's over there fighting them cheating characters, bro's like, what in the
world? That's when he sneaks into the lunch table with the normal humans, right?
Right. That's when he feels normal because he's not full cheat. Yep. So that's why Fox. When Fox is fighting these cheaters, Luigi is a cheater. He's not
through and through, cheating.
When he's fighting these characters that are cheating, you're like, bro, Fox is garbage. And then you see him fight a half cheater. You see him fight a Diddy Kong. You see him fight Joker, even, by the way. You see him fight a Peach, half cheater. Like, you see him fight these, and you're like, honestly, Fox is pretty good. Nah. He's just not fighting the cheaters. Yeah. Yep.
But I love how you said that, and I think it's so important to say as the meta progresses, there's more and more cheaters in the bracket. And there have been new ones lots that have popped up that weren't that popular, like Luigi and like more Game & Watches.
You know what's crazy?
Fuck.
Some of these cheaters are starting to trick people into thinking Rob is normal.
Nah.
The cheater characters have gotten that bad that the Rob players are trying to say they're not.
Rob players have been doing that for.
I'm starting to feel bad for Rob.
Nah.
When I watched Hurt vs. Zomba at Supernova, I felt bad for Rob. Genuinely. I was feeling bad. Because Rob interacts very little. But he does interact. He does interact. Just not that much.
Well,
so is Rob a half cheater or
that dude?
No, he's cheating.
I've never seen Snake interact once in like 10 plus years.
It's been years.
It's been over a decade. I've never seen him interact.
We need to do a full list breakdown of who's a cheater, half cheater, and full cheater.
Diddy Kong is not half. Diddy Kong is normal.
No. Come on, man. Like, what?
Wait. Okay.
What? He spawns an item.
I'll budge here. Okay. But only if you can accurately depict why he is a half cheater. Don't say some stupid shit.
I have a couple. For me, I'm scared to go.
Anyone.
You go first, Marcus, and I'll say mine.
Be careful. Be very careful.
I got a couple answers, but I'm.
This isn't
not
going to
accept banana as an answer. He's not accepting banana as an answer.
No.
He's definitely not accepting that shit.
That's a good answer.
He's got his hands out. He's like, Hulk.
I need some detailed. All right. Go ahead.
Bro got a banana. Like, what are you even
talking about, man?
Like,
yo, you can literally slip someone and start charging a smash attack.
Kill him with? People be catching it on accident because they're just
mashing. Yeah.
Oh, well, because they're playing Ghostbusters. They're swinging. They're swinging.
I like that. One thing I think of for him for half cheater is the under the stage shit, bro. I hate that shit. That drives me nuts. That's a good one. Yeah, I know that's a good one. You gotta give it up. True.
Kind of cheating.
I'd be setting up holy water at the ledge, and there he goes. Oh, okay.
There he goes.
You know I am so nasty with that stuff. Like,
okay.
Are you calling yourself nasty because you're still cheating?
They weren't doing it before. They weren't doing it.
Okay, you invented cheating. Congratulations.
I'm not saying I invented it. I just
you perfected cheating.
Started doing it.
Yeah. You popular alert.
Gavin was like, how can I disengage even more?
That's I hope Jude never listens to this. He's gonna feel so validated.
Who, Jude?
Yes.
Good, bro. He's got good opinions.
Bro, Jude plays a normal character, so Jude understands.
He does. Which is funny because Wolf was probably considered a half cheater at one point.
Bro was a cheater at the beginning.
Full
bro
cheater, was, you think?
Bro
yeah.
was fully cheating at
like week one or whatever, yeah.
No. Yeah, we
month one.
We had Olimar. We had
Pichu.
Olimar
and Pichu. Oh my god, that's so disgusting.
Yeah,
but Pichu wasn't good though.
That's disgusting. Olimar was dude.
I will say yikes. Something that is extremely messed up is Z drop there.
True. With intangibility. Yes.
So banana.
Intangible banana.
With transcendent. Well, yeah. Y'all just said banana. I'm not accepting that.
It covers a lot, to be fair. Where doesn't it help?
I'm not writing a banana breakdown on, like, it's going to be a half an hour breakdown.
Gavin, would you rather have banana?
I was going to say monkey flip. Like, okay.
I was thinking about it.
Monkey flip on Wi-Fi. Monkey flip on Wi-Fi. That's how you trigger
it. To be fair with monkey flip, okay? The frame data on that move is stupid.
Which aspect?
The safety of it, if you
can. Okay, yeah, true.
And you can edge cancel it.
And the edge cancel.
I just need details. When someone says, "Oh, monkey flip," I'm like, "Bro, if you don't press the jump button,"
and the thing with it jump. Is like how late you can. So now I'm in the air, but he still
cornered himself
under.
And then you try to fight the edge cancel, and then he monkey flips again, and then you're playing poorly.
Everyone. And then, like, the heights where you can do it, where, like, you can jump out of it, and, of course, you have a banana in your hand because it's just, like, it's attached.
Oh, my God. I got exposed. Uh-oh. I was playing with Boosk, like, a couple weeks ago, and he had this realization that Diddy Kong is just Steve. And he was like, monkey flip into the banana toss is just minecart anvil.
Low key.
Boosk is genius, bro. I love
it. It was actually so crazy that I was just dying laughing, like just in my room by myself, just dying. Cause like it is such a similar concept, genuinely.
But well, that's why he's a half cheater. Steve's the full cheater version.
Yeah.
See?
Dude, that would be,
yeah, like Bowser Jr.
Monkey flip into jump down toss is literally just Minecraft or Minecart Anvil.
That joint.
That's very funny.
And then you get 5 million off of it if they trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all agree, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's
so I was streaming this morning, like early for no reason. and I was talking about something. I want to hear what y'all think about this.
Okay.
So you know how, like, with a two-use banana, Diddy Kong can do, like, banana dare barrels for, like, 72 or whatever it is, like, 70 plus. I don't like doing that combo because so it sends you at, like, a diagonal upwards angle, which I don't think is preferred for Diddy Kong because he's, like, much better, like, pushing people out. He's not that good, like, with verticality, like, being under someone. Like, he's not that amazing because if he commits to full hop height, he doesn't have air mobility, and his up air isn't, like, the best thing in the world. I do like cutting the combo short and doing some sort of barrel combo where I have banana in my hand after. Because if you finish the combo with no banana in hand, you have to decide between fight, like, pushing your advantage with no banana or letting neutral reset to pull banana. And I just think that plays really poorly into what Diddy Kong's gameplay loop is trying to be, which is hitting you and then pressuring you immediately because he has banana in hand and just looping it. But if you do banana dare barrels, you have to make a choice, and neither choice feels that good. But if you cut the combo short and do, like, 40 to 50 with banana in hand, you it's just infinite pressure, and it loops way better, and you don't have to hesitate. There's no decision to be made because you can push your advantage while having banana. And I don't know. I feel like that's, like, the best way to word it. And
okay.
I don't know if people fully understand. I don't know if people fully understand the process of keeping banana in your hand always, and, like, the all the values that comes with that compared to just, like, cashing out every time.
Well, I think that's, like, a general, like, smash thing.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of people,
like, back throwing Little Mac versus comboing him, like, the classic, right, the easiest right, way to describe it.
Right.
Right. I don't, my question is, or would be, is this an every time thing, or is this, like, a general?
Almost every time.
I'm trying to grab a lead. Okay, what if you have, what if you're at, like, 150, 160, and you just,
honestly, I would argue even more so then, because you want to do the combo and then try to push for the win in the advantage thing.
So you would rather push for a win in the advantage state than cashing out max damage when you get an opening.
Yeah.
Do you believe that that's because you're more likely to hold the advantage state because of your skill as a player, or do you just think that that's the correct thing to do?
I think the biggest reason for it is the angle the barrel combo sends at is not great. So I want to be in the best position possible after the fact to compensate for that. Because if the combo ended with them having to be cornered or at the ledge, then I would be more likely to cash out more often. But the fact that it sends them, like, pretty much vertically leads to so much hesitation and possible room for them to do well. So I would rather have banana ASAP.
So you think that if you were to do, like, the combo, have the banana in your hand, put them horizontally outward, that would be better because you're more likely to continue to win out scenario after scenario rather than just getting the 70 or 80 then.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I just...
It's like his kit is better designed to do... Yeah.
No matter what. Because if I cut the combo a little short and do, like, 40-50, it's still going to have the same angle, which is unfortunate, but I have banana in hand. So, like, let's say I do the full combo and we're center stage. So they're going up. I'm still here. I have to make a decision between, chasing them with no banana or, like, pulling the banana center or, like, dashing back. And it's just, it's good. Like, it's most likely going to reset neutral. And I have done this scenario hundreds and hundreds of times in every way. I've cashed out fully. I never like it ever because, especially when you get, like, your perfect setup, you just want more. You want to finish it after. And the fact that I want to finish the job so badly, but I don't have the tools to do it, it feels gross. Like, I flow much better by just cutting it a little short and having banana in hand because there's no hesitation. I'm just because even if it does reset, I have banana and it's like, okay, it's fine. Like, I'm not beating myself up.
What's best case scenario if you cut the combo short and you win your next interaction?
The next interaction puts them at ledge. And I still have banana in hand.
You still have banana in hand, or you have to pull it?
Doesn't matter that much. But it's like, let's say the next hit, because these are the possible next hits, right? Z drop aerial, maybe like a monkey flip kick if there's a platform nearby, maybe tripping them when they land to a platform, or maybe punishing them with a banana itself, or cornering them with my presence because I didn't have to move my body because I have the banana. So like they're cornered because like I'm controlling center. All of that is perfectly fine. But like even if like I use the banana to get my second win, I most likely have frame advantage to set it up while they're in hit stun or grabbing ledge or something. And even if they don't, I still am happy with it no matter what. The extra 20 damage just isn't relevant, especially because it's not the difference between getting a kill or not. 50 to 70, right. Diddy Kong doesn't care that much. It might open up certain like down tilt things a little bit better in certain matchups, but I don't think that's relevant enough to sacrifice the second use of the banana. But if it like put you in a percent to kill you, then like maybe, but like it usually doesn't. Maybe in certain matchups it puts them in a window for pivot cancel down tilt F smash, but like I'm not gonna, that's just too specific.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. So
true. Like, if it was something like my next hit kills them, then you could argue cashing out a lot more frequently, but my next hit doesn't kill them. It just doesn't. You can't in good faith argue that from a Diddy Kong perspective, that if you do 70 over 50, your next hit kills, because it's just not true.
Most likely, yeah. And I think looking at it too, like from the other player perspective, it sounds like you have more opportunity to kind of continue mixing them into snowball even more. If you put them in that favorable position rather than take the guaranteed damage, right? Just trying to really
like I said, the angle is just so awkward to like really push for anything crazy.
Yeah.
That I would rather just be comfortable, because like if the barrels like for some stupid reason like sent them like out, it would be ridiculous. Like, because then you would just cash out fully and then pull banana while they're off stage. Like then it's just like nothing matters. But there's like, it's a bit more complex because like, I don't know. I don't think Diddy Kong is that great at pushing people up. He's just not.
You don't get a lot of damage from stringing up.
You're already going down the wrong path, because if they get under you or like,
Neutral air dodge is just so strong, right? So
yeah, I mean, I've been figuring this out for so many years. Like, if you get the perfect 0% combo, what is the best way to like immediately try to kill them? And it's too hard. I don't know how to kill them immediately after. Like, even if they make a huge mistake, like even if I get a hard read on the second interaction, it doesn't lead to a kill.
You're not playing.
I always want to do that because I want to like showcase it in a highlight, right? Like, oh, here's me getting my 0 to 70 and then immediately killing them. Like, look how broken. But like, it never results in a stock. So I'd rather just get the 50. I don't know why.
I know a character that can do that.
Sorry,
Steven.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I had to lock in for a second.
Like, whenever I teach Diddy Kong players on Metafy, I always show them like a two-piece combo without banana and the same combo with Z-drop aerials. And it's like, look at like the potential here versus like the initial combo where like neutral truly resets. But if banana's in your hand immediately as they get out of hit stun, like I like to call it like a vortex or like a gameplay loop. That's like the whole goal. It makes Diddy Kong seem a lot stronger than he really is, basically.
It's funny because I feel like this is, you know, the opposite of what we were saying with people's secondaries, where a pocket Diddy Kong would probably just take the guaranteed damage every time because like they're not thinking.
Well, they don't even know the combo in the first place, so they're getting the most. They're getting
what the
most
hell are they doing?
They're getting the most damage with what they know.
Yeah,
they're down throwing or something like.
Yo, pocket Diddy Kong, that's up throw up air, baby.
Dude,
you already know. You yeah. already know up throw yeah. up
throw. One of my least favorite things is when I see a Diddy Kong player up throw most of the time. There's some spots where it's interesting, but I could go on a huge rant about up throw.
It's the Smash 4.
First off, you're going up there with them, and oh, we just talked about how bad it is for Diddy Kong to be up there.
True.
Up throw does 1% less than down throw. In down throw, you literally can get a landing aerial, whereas with up throw, you get one or two. Like, ugh. And the down throw pushes them out, which is what you want for ledge trapping. You most likely have more frame advantage to pull banana because you're closer to the ground.
See, that's the crazy thing. My Diddy Kong is very good at juggling. Like, he's more of like a vertical okay, type Diddy Kong.
Yeah,
like,
you're yeah, he's specialized. Yeah.
Up throw up air, more up airs.
Yeah.
You know, it's banana toss up air is usually what I do in the air, which is good. Or on platform.
You like to throw your banana up as well, right, Haz? Like
yeah, totally.
I mean, that stuff is pretty good, but...
See, yeah. Maybe I could teach you something. What if up is the final frontier for Diddy Kong, though, Gavin? Like, you haven't thought of, like...
That's the last tier.
Crazy stuff with
bro up. Bro has some... Bro.
Oh, he knows.
Some of this... Because you just randomly, like, DM, like... It'll be, like, a paragraph. Of like a random thought, and I'm just like,
most of the time, sure you want, in order to be creative and have and reach the high ceiling, you usually want to do up and down more than anything else. Mostly down. Down toss is like really unfair, but up toss is great. They all have different frame data and properties, so you have to know the difference. Even front and back,
got sheets going like
front and back are so different as well. Yeah, Diddy Kong's cool.
Well,
bro, I've also been really messing with attack cancel back. Like, I'm running away from my opponent and I do attack cancel bear and it's like floating towards them. It's so good and I don't know why I never did it.
It's kind of like a retreating fair, but something a bit more snappier, right?
So yeah, it's like approaching them and because it's back air specifically, you can do like a second.
Oh, you're approaching them? Oh, true. Okay, you're, attack cancel, so you're like going to them. Okay,
I see. Just because I'm so comfortable with the dash attack cancel item tosses, like I'm so good at attack cancel in general now that I was practicing it a lot, but I was up against a sword character, so they kept doing like a rising aerial and I just kept getting hit, but I was still trying to figure out how to use it anyway, especially because you can do the second back air, you can do a falling up air after the back air, like just because like the back air isn't the only option, like you have a lot of different things you can do, like back attack cancel back air moving towards them into like down air auto cancel too. Pretty nasty, but I can't figure out exactly where and when to do it and like who to do it against, but yeah.
Yeah, let's go Pharaoh. Woo. Yeah,
Pharaoh.
He's Paul.
Game watch aside,
BMP.
Paul was going crazy at Collision. True,
bro. That clip he hit,
that clip was actually, I had to give it up. I don't normally give it up.
Turn around, bro.
I had to give it up.
That character is so good.
Hero?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That character is so good, bro. I hate that character. I can't. I, to this day, have not figured it out even 1% how to beat that character. I don't know.
But it takes a lot of skill because you have to read really fast. So it's okay.
GG.
Right? Right?
GG.
I just.
Yeah.
I think his coolest tools are the slashes, the flame and
the flame slashes.
Yeah, yeah. Flame and crackle or whatever.
This is basic, but the way that Paul uses Accelerattle is insane, bro. The jukes he gets with that move.
Down
it's
air.
Just, he makes it look so unfair. Then I go in training mode and try to do it. I'm like, what the fuck? What the hell?
Crazy. So many hero players SD because they like find themselves under the stage with all the momentum. Like that shit is funny.
Yep.
But not Paul.
Oh my god, Paul. Jazzo, another top
bro's
eight.
Going beast mode consistently.
Yeah,
with the Accelerado. Dude, like the Accelerado combos, like when you see hero glowing green, and it's like now this character has true combos. And it's like Nair fair or fair, or like, oh, since you're scared of me getting the true combo, there's that one time Zomba air dodge, and it's like, I was watching with Gavin. Gavin was like, oh, a fair there wouldn't have killed, but since Zomba air dodged and then, you know, the dare came as a follow-up, it was like that was enough for the stock. So even just like the threat of the damage is just insane. And even like, dude, it's messed up because the positioning after like a Nair fair or like double or triple fair, you're so far away from the stage, man. Yeah. Like, geez. Like, a character like Hero with how, like, strong the moves are and how slow the moves are, it's just like, man, when Hero's buffed with Accelerado and now it just, there's true combos involved, it's like, man, that's messed up.
And then he gets, like, you get so afraid that you start air dodging like Zamba did, and then he does the ankle breaker with the B reverse, bro. That shit.
Oh, man. That was clean.
You want to know a way Zamba died in tournament?
You try to dash attack into the corner?
You were so close.
Dash grab.
So close, yeah.
He plays Rob. I should have.
Dash grabbed into the corner, got hit by Crackle Slash or whatever it's called into Thwack. Like, it was the most dramatic way to get punished for it. And I'm just sitting there like, bro, we literally talked about this personally, bro. Stop fucking doing that. Sorry.
Yeah, but then Zamba would get a dash grab and then, like, take the stock.
That's true. The thing. I'm talking about one of the people specifically that is, like, the best at this shit. Like, Zamba might be the best example of a player that simplifies the game and gets, like, so many dash attacks and dash grabs. Like, I think he's the best, like, person at guessing on the planet. But it's still like, we could do better, bro. We could do better.
But like, Smash 4 was a guessing game. So many 50-50s. Zamba should have
went crazy. Yeah, shout out to Zamba. I'm glad he won, for sure.
Bro, it was one of those things where, like, I saw him lose in Winners. I saw his face when he walked off the stage, and I was like, yeah, he's activated. He wins. I'm not It's fine.
Yeah. But I had a lot of interesting talks with him about. A couple of people hit me up after my thread. So,
Your thread. So you got thread. A lot of hits, huh?
The dash attack thread. The
dash tag, yep. Dash grab thread.
Now a bunch of people think they never should dash attack again, or that their character sucks, or like, it's like, oh, what did I do?
Gavin's Twitter is powerful.
Wait till y'all hear his next thread. Oh, boy.
What is it?
Huh? Yeah, what is the N-word, outward thing. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, I don't know if he'll make that a thread, though.
In order to be evasive properly, you need to escape outward rather than inward. So many people were losing at Umabura because they were doing things like rolling in.
Cross up in air.
Yeah, crossing their opponent up, rising air dodge to get through their opponent, etc. People need to be willing to float off stage, grab the ledge.
Oh, flow off stage. Okay.
Maybe even re-grab the ledge in a tricky way or two. Like, I think people need to be more comfortable going out than in. Just because.
Damn, bars.
Going in just seems greedy. Like, they have less shield and they're forcing it. But if you go off stage, you get more shield. Like, it seems scarier because, like, you're more likely to get ledge trapped. But I think it's consistent and it leads to your opponent having to work harder. But maybe I'm biased because my character has a wall cling, a wall jump.
And you can side switch.
A monkey flip going under the stage.
You want Belmont to re-grab the ledge? What the fuck?
You got a tether, bro. You can wait for a minute.
Well, waiting after a tether.
So different. What if you're fighting up against Game & Watch and you can't switch to the other side?
Tether again, wait, down, up.
Well, okay. So
throw the holy water at the ledge, true.
Then you do the jump, holy water into the ledge, wait again. Like,
they read one of those and you're dead instantly, by the way. True.
Good luck answering Chuck's question.
Die for the down tilt or the roll in. So, you know, we're trying.
All right, Gavin. Pop quiz, Gavin. All right. You're playing a character that can't side switch and you are going up against Game & Watch, who is very efficient at pressing B by the ledge roll. And so do you run off and grab the ledge against in this scenario?
Yes, but Game & Watch can't just reactively grab ledge start. He has to position preempt, so you're floating and you're baiting whether you use your double jump to re-grab ledge. You still have your air dodge. You can grab the ledge quicker or faster. Like, Game & Watch can't just immediately perfectly be ready to just start cooking as soon as you grab ledge. He can do it kind of quick, but you know what I mean. Like, you can have
it does have startup. It's got some startup. Yeah. And then the projectile has to, like, kind of get there. But
yeah,
like,
so I still think you possibly can.
When Gavin first said this to me, I said, so what happens when you fight Samus?
GG. Do you do this against Min Min, too? That's another question I had.
I think it's fine to do against Moomin.
Yeah.
You think it's fine? I don't know. I think being on the ledge against
Moomin. You're going to get pivot grab.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're going to get pivot grabbed or something, or like you're going to get clipped in your movement and you're going to die when she's respawning because it's invincible Min. Like you got to. Yeah.
All right, Gavin. I also got to call out all your threads.
Stage, that shit is nice.
All your threads just talk about camping. So, yeah. If you want to be good at Smash Brothers, just always go the opposite direction of your opponent. You don't have to play Ghostbusters. You don't have to just swing at the open air. You can just run away instead.
Chuck spitting.
Yeah, but like...
Or you can play Steve and build a literal wall between.
You have to run away with a specific intent. Because a lot of people run away, but their intent doesn't show that they're trying to win. It shows
that's a good point.
It shows that they don't want to lose and that they don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yes. Like I've seen players.
I would rather you play Ghostbusters than not know what's going on and just like wasting everyone's time. But
well, right.
You know.
But like I mean, obviously, like especially Wrath earlier in his career was a player that would run away with the intention to time you out. And I think what separated Wrath and Sonics, especially early Ultimate, was Sonics was like just generally more aggressive, but ran away with the more intent to whiff punish with something like a dash attack rather than like run away to set up charge, right? Like, and I think Wrath has gotten a lot
for sure.
Well, right, I think Wrath has gotten like a lot better at.
Yes.
Weaving in offense to his gameplay, which is why I think he's like really strong right now. But just having a plan, having an intent, right? I think is super important. And even when you're playing
sometimes when things are going like Fox, well, you want to dash away
and whiff punish.
I'll be camping, but it's because I'm lost. And like you don't want to do that. Well, like you can because you give yourself room to breathe and you might figure something out and you might frustrate your opponent. That's usually the theory. But yeah, we're kind of just rambling, but I do think people play the evasion game pretty poorly, and a lot of it has to do with like panicking and like with dealing with an invincible opponent when they're respawning and like struggling with how to manage like low shield health, which is I've been obsessing over managing shield health for like years now, so like
Yeah,
I find myself talking about it like every Metafy lesson with someone in some way. So
you brought it up when we asked you to help us study for the Supernova sets. We talked about her.
Oh, the Min and Snake.
Yeah, Min Min Snake thing, and I was like, wow, that's really smart.
Actually, it's important in that matchup.
Yeah,
for sure.
Snake can't jump.
Well, I think it's something that players. It will affect your gameplay no matter what your shield health, but you might not even think about it, and you might just start panicking and doing things that feel natural when you feel unsafe. Everyone has habits when they feel unsafe.
That dash attack or roll is going to come out when they have no shield, and you got to be positioned to let them know they can't just do that.
Right.
That Belmont down tilt has.
Hey, hold on a second.
Dash attack out of the corner.
Dash attack. True.
Oh, sorry.
Well, then you get hit, and then you down air when you come down. True. No one can stop that.
Yeah, down air up E is really good.
Down air up E is really good. Great. Oh my god, dude. Yeah. This is fun. What the heck? Umaburra was a blast, dude. I love that tournament. I thought that was great. We didn't even talk about the Aquila 9. Like, jeez.
The Aquila 9.
Not only just the Aquila 9.
My card.
Aquila knows something very important because he is consistently a miracle worker. It is not like a one or two time thing. Most of the brackets he wins, he creates magical, miraculous moments. And like, it's just too consistent. It's so impressive. And I don't know what the fuck is going on because he's losing every game. And it's like inevitable now. Like it feels like a prank now. Like he's gonna get the F smash. Like, but he always gets it. Always. Like,
so,
you can say Steve this and Steve that. And, like, honestly, that's completely fair. Because, like, yeah, Steve is ridiculous. But, like, it's a little too consistent. Like, he's a miracle worker. Consistently. Like,
I saw.
I guess it kind of goes against the word miracle, but, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I saw.
Consistent and miracle. I don't know, man.
I saw a tweet that was like, imagine the best Game & Watch clip of all time in Ultimate. It's to someone who used them for the first time against her. You know, it's like that. That's the type of player that he is, though, because it's like he is a Steve Main or what. Like, he's played Aegis and all this shit. But now the most infamous or most famous, either way you want to look at it, Game & Watch clip of all time is coming out. Yeah, is Jesus. I keep wanting to say Ashimo. It keeps coming out from Akola.
Yeah, it's... So. I just... Because when you're watching Mia versus Akola, because honestly, it's been a bit for me since I saw it, especially because they... just like watching them play those long-winded sets, it's just the same story over and over. And like, it's not a coincidence. Like, Mia speeding up and getting more and more antsy, and like, Akola just finds a way. The game starts off terribly for Akola, like, almost every time. 150 plus, he gets a few hits, he might even steal the first stock. He just, like, it's like inevitable. It is ridiculous to watch. Because
You can never count him out.
We were just talking about Mia. Like, we were talking about Game, like, Charles was talking about Game Watch specifically. But, like, Mia, like, doesn't fuck it up. And he gets
Mia's more. Very consistent.
But Akula just gets in. He finds a way out. He gets, like, the most... Like, he gets the most linear thing. But he gets it every time. Like...
Yeah.
It's just...
Even taking it a step back... taking a step back from that, it's always Mia and Akola in these tournaments, like whether it's Grands or Winners Finals. Like, and we talk about how difficult of a region Japan is. We started the episode talking about how Gavin might actually feel bad for a snake player, which is insane because her is so consistent even in this region. But we saw what could just happen to him in this tournament. You know what I mean? And he still had a good top eight placement and all that shit, but he's someone who you could easily pencil in as the winner of a tournament. And for whatever reason, whatever their X factor is, Mia and Akola are just so consistent. And I think, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things we could point to with that, but I agree with you, Gavin. There is something, it's like something in the water or something, like something's off, you know, like something shifted, like there's something going on here, especially with Akola for sure. Like, there's something,
he creates, you know, miracles every
best time. Game & Watch clip of all time is Akola's, the best Game & Watch clip of all time, it's Akola's.
And I can't I'm gonna be a hater. All right. So okay.
That's fair.
So I love the fact that Akula is bringing out the pocket Game & Watch, but then like we're showing the dark side of it. We're showing like, perfect. Man, fuck it. I'm just getting shit on. Like, I'm just gonna run up side B. Like, it wasn't even like off nair. It wasn't off grab. Like, to me, Mia, now I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. I'm sure Mia has like either done an input error or has like ran up and gone for side B. Probably, but like I just feel like a moment like that, I don't think Mia would do that. I've seen Mia play. That's
an interesting thing, having the like, what's it called,
the balls to just run up and side B someone. Yes, that's crazy.
When you play Game & Watch for that long, it becomes very studied and like the process is very consistent, and like you don't, side B isn't on your mind a lot of the time. But Akula is like fresh and new to the character, so it's kind of like the whimsy is there.
It's like the childlike wonder or the whimsy.
It's in your head because like you don't have the 9-to-5 mindset with your character because it's new to you.
The jaded competitor mindset, which is like what most of us in this podcast have, right? Like, we're like, why would you do that? That's not just
a guaranteed. I asked for a side beat him too, bro. True.
Like, has his win.
Well, I knew he would try to dash attack out of the corner because he's greedy, so I'm gonna send a 9.
Well, in those last few interactions, Akula was very stationary, right? Like, it wasn't like a lot of active button pressing, and Hurt got a lot of raw grabs. He did. So I think Hurt was comfortable getting close. Like dashing like dashing and waiting. Like, I'm not going to say it was the most perfectly planned, like genius thing ever, because I would never say that. Like, no way. But
it doesn't have to be to get the W.
There was
right?
some layering there with like the interactions that happened previously. And bro, it was like 4 or 5 in the morning or whatever, right? Like, it's super late over here on the East Coast. And, like, I had it on the TV, and I'm just laying in bed, and I, like, don't want to wake up. And I'm just looking at it like, he does this so often. I wasn't even that surprised. I know that's, like, a different, like, that is different. Like, that is even crazier than anything usually.
Yeah.
But, like, he wins tournaments specifically. He's a tournament winner, not the melee term. Like, bro finds a way to win. Like, and you gotta respect it. And it is an art form, and like the consistency of it can't be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a player who finds a way to lose consistently can't be ignored. Like, everyone notices that as well. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like, players that get lose when they're winning by a lot or to rage or whatever, like, right, it is the like two sides of the same coin, you know. And Akola is just for real a winner. Like, it's confusing. I have to watch more to try to figure this out because I don't get it.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I'm more of a Mia fan, so I just like, man, I just watch someone like Mia, and obviously Mia isn't anyone that's like playing the game perfectly by any means, but I think Mia goes for consistent options most. Like, when Mia's playing well, it's like a lot of consistent options. Like,
yeah.
It's like really strong punishes, really clean advantage state, right? And obviously it's game and watch, so it's not the hardest to execute, but still very clean, very consistent throughout a, you know, very large part of bracket. Will switch characters if he needs to, and to me, Mia is like of the new generation of Smashers that are on the come up. He feels like the relentless, ruthless competitor. I will play any character I need to win. I'll play any style I have to play to win. And Akola is like similar in a way. I mean, now they're kind of having very similar character pools, but their play styles are very, very different. So it does make it compelling to watch. It is a very fun, like, Mia versus Akola is very fun to watch because their styles are very different, but they play similar characters. But yeah, I definitely lean more towards, I'm more of a fan of Mia's play style as someone who's like been around for a while.
It's almost like an opposite to Charles, because one's a Game & Watch main with a Steve secondary, and then the other, you know, best Game & Watch in the world with a secondary Steve, and then the other one's the best Steve in the world with a Game & Watch secondary. But then he also had, don't forget about the Aegis too. We can't write that off real quick. Okay. I got an important win in that. Circles back to our idea of having one character that's good enough to fight against one player, because that's how you win. That's how you win. You know what I mean? And that makes me, again,
think about specific players when you're getting that far. So
exactly,
if you're that high level, yes.
You brings just me back to my terrible metaphor about having the right tool for the right job. Akula could sit there and say, my Steve could beat 99% of the players in this room. It could beat 100. Let's be real. It could beat 100% of the players in this room or whatever. But when I play against her, I would rather do something else. Playing against Hurt with Steve, I don't like that. So I'm going to start picking Game & Watch. And now he's doing that, and now he has the right tool for the job. And is, you know what I mean?
That moment. That did not hit.
Those backers, bro.
It's so annoying when like the Steve backer hits like in front. It's so
We're casting that Jazzo versus Steve set, bro. We're not going to forget.
It happens frequently.
That shit hits. E-air, bro. It's everywhere. Come on. It's not B-air.
Yeah, it's crazy that we can all say we've seen that like double digit times in tournament.
Like, yeah, it's just
like it's like a normal thing at this point.
I should stop complaining about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's hard not to, though.
When it's visually that jarring, it's just like.
Mm.
Yeah. I think this episode was fantastic.
It's very fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot to talk about. Congrats to Zomba winning Collision. Congrats to Akula winning Umabura.
Yep.
In the most miraculous way.
Well, and again, it reminds me of us talking about Hurt's Sonic up against Dormiki, where Hurt won game one with Sonic, so too bad. You're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life, probably. You're going to keep going Sonic until you start 3-0-ing it. And same thing with...
Now Hurt has even more Game & Watch to deal with.
Hurt is going to have to deal with Game & Watch for the rest of his life, and he's going to think about that 9, like, almost every... I guarantee it that he's going to think about it. There's no fucking way he's not going to.
The people casting it are going to think about it. Akola is going to think about it.
They're going to talk about that shit in the next Smash game.
Yeah.
Akola Hurt, 2030. hey, what if he nines them again? Remember that?
It's like the down air Pikmin thing. Like, you know.
No shit, right? Yeah, there's so many of those, dude. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, Bayo in Smash 4 was crazy, though. Like, all right, let's relax here a little bit. Damn. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Cool episode.
Where else can they find you, Gavin?
Yeah. I've been streaming the last few days, twitch.tv/tweakssb. The times have been awkward. Apologies for that. We post bonus content on our YouTube for our YouTube members and for the Patreon, patreon.com/tweaktalks. We do bonus content every week along with the usual stuff. I've also been getting a decent amount of Metafy bookings. If anyone's interested in getting coached in Smash Ultimate, I do have a Metafy, metafy.gg/@tweak. That's about it. Thank you so much for supporting the show as always. And yeah, anything else, y'all? I think we're good.
Shout out to Cat Masters, bro.
Yeah.
2 weekends in a row.
What? A little too consistent right
He's
now.
He's a cheater, is he not? He's actually weirdly.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy because we most of us on the podcast think that Ken and Ryu aren't that great, but there's a lot of Ken and Ryu in a lot of top 8s recently. Which
I mean, Luigi too. I've never thought that highly of any of those characters. Like, I think they're okay, but they always surpass expectations. So.
Oh, yeah, man. All right, next week.
Pocket Game and Watch.
Just Pocket Game and Watch. Next week, I'll be gold in Marvel Rivals, okay? That's my goal.
Oh, snap.
I don't know. Shit, I'm not messing
around. Me too. Just kidding. All right, have a good one.